Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's August 10th. We're here in the studio in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have Sam Grass and Lee Cantor with me. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm glad to see that we have our Q on-air light.
That's right. The big time now.
Yeah. It's getting very, very high-tech around here.
Put a little more pressure on you.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. All we need now is a green room.
Yeah. It's always something. Never good enough for you, Brad. It's never good enough.
Well, we have a great show this morning. I'm going to do as little talking as possible because I'm trying to shake a cough here. So I'm going to kind of leave it to you, Sam. But let's get right into it. We have with us this morning Janet Dawkins from Aging Options. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
If we could just have you start this morning by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're from, where you grew up, where you went to school, how you got into the business that you're in today.
I would love to. I'm an Atlanta girl, have been here all my life, which I think is rare these days. Grew up in Atlanta in the Morningside area, went to the University of Georgia, and had been working with seniors and senior programs in the Atlanta area since 1969.
Oh boy.
I tell people all the time I've been working with seniors so long I've become one.
I have that disease, too, so don't worry about it.
But seniors are my passion, and I've worked in many different areas of the geriatric field. I worked for 10 years as a caseworker, and for many years was a manager and director and eventually director of operations for three assisted living homes, all three of which were homes for veterans. And so another one of my passions is working with veterans, and I am a veterans claims agent and accredited through the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Let's develop that a little bit. We've done quite a number of shows on veterans and veteran benefits. I don't know if we specifically have spoken about accredited claims agents. Tell us about that.
Sure. In order to assist veterans and their families with applications for benefits, one of the requirements is that you either be a member of a veteran service organization, an attorney, or an accredited claims agent. And that is to ensure that when veterans are filing their claims or need assistance, that they're getting assistance from a professional that's aware of all of the benefits that are available to them and are given good and correct information.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Aging Options. What is it? What did you do? What's the selling point of Aging Options?
I was so hoping you would ask that question. I started Aging Options 8 years ago as a referral-based company. All of our services are free to seniors and their families. There's never a fee or charge for any of our services. And the referral agency is a means by which you can a senior and his or her family can get expert advice from a group of professionals. We have a registered nurse. We have clinicians who will work with them, do an interview, doing a clinical assessment, and determine what the senior's needs are, whether it be in the home and bringing in a home care agency, or helping them to look for other outside resources like adult daycare or assisted living homes.
Tell us how you go about starting the process. You have a referral from ABC person, whoever that may be, and this referral has a parent who is in their mid-70s. They live alone. They're starting to become frail, potential fall risk. Tell us how you start the process and where you go with it.
Certainly. The first thing we would do would be to have a confidential conversation with the family member And we would get information, and we do a three-prong assessment. The first thing we want to know is something about that person, what their personality's like, who they are, what type of environment they've lived in. We also need clinical information, what type of care they're going to need, what their limitations are. And then we talk to them privately about their financial needs and whether there might be other assets available to help pay for the care, whether it be a Medicaid-based program or VA benefits or Social Security benefits that they haven't accessed. Then we put all of this information together. We do a research, find out what resources are available for that client, and then we get back with the family member and pass that information along. And we hold their hand through the whole process. If they're interested, for example, in a placement in an assisted living home, we make the call to the assisted living homes that would be appropriate for them, let the family member know which ones would be possibilities, and then we even go with them on a tour of the facilities. And the reason we do that is to make sure that the family member's asking all the right questions, things they may not think about. What is the staffing ratio? What services are provided? Do they provide incontinence care? Do they provide special meal programs? Do they provide access to transportation to medical appointments? Those types of things.
Once you place the client, whether it be in a facility or the privacy of their home, so to speak, is there any follow-up? What do you do at that point? In my understanding or in my view, obviously the situation and the physical conditions of the clients change rapidly. So how do you address that situation?
They certainly can and often do change rapidly. And so we are there for the continuum of care for the client. Once we're involved with the family, we're there for the duration. For as long as they need us, it can be something as simple as a telephone call to ask us for additional information, or it can be a call saying, we had mom in the house and you helped us obtain home care, but at this point we feel like that's not enough and we'd like to look for assisted living or nursing home placement. At that time, then we step right back in and assist. We also help with other issues as well. We're case managers, and so oftentimes when a family is going through the transition from at home to community care, there are so many other issues that need to be addressed. Maybe financial issues. It might be a good time for the family to look at reorganization of finances. So we have just a multitude of resources that we can pass along to the family.
I'm going to ask, probably get myself in trouble, but that's not unusual. I'm going to ask a what-if scenario and see if you can enlighten me. We have an individual that goes to an assisted living, and when they initially go into it, they are somewhat self-supporting, but obviously over the course of a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be, the condition changes. The assisted living is very limited into the personal care that can be provided. What would be the recommendation at that point?
Every instance and situation is individual. And one thing we try to do with our initial assessment of the client is to prevent this type of situation from happening. We try to look at the client and what their situation is and what their care is going to be and what they're going to need for many months and years to come. But sometimes that does occur. And if it does, then we go in and do another clinical assessment. Sometimes the client may need a hospitalization for assessment to see what their issues are going to be clinically. For instance, are they going to be ambulatory? Or they're going to need be special needs dietary? Do they need medication management? Once we've ascertained what their needs are going to be, then we will step right back in with the family and help them find the best solutions and the best resources that can fill that client's needs.
My experience, Janet, is you hit the nail on the head when you said every situation is unique. In my personal experience, in some cases, you you leave or take them out of the assisted living and put them into another facility that can give higher level of care. In other situations, you don't. You leave them there. So that's an interesting. Your line of thinking is very similar to mine.
Now, how do you get people to think about this at a time when there's not a crisis?
That's a wonderful question, and something that we wish all families would consider is looking into the future for their parents and finding out the best solutions before there is a crisis.
Because don't you find that people are just, a crisis happens, now everybody's scrambling and is trying to, you know, kind of make the best of a bad situation decisions across the board, rather than if they had had some foresight? I mean, it's not one of these things where you're going, well, maybe my parents won't age. You know, it's like you kind of know this is coming at some point, so that you would think there would be some foresight into some planning.
Exactly. We see that quite often. A lot of our referrals come from case managers and discharge planners in hospitals and rehabilitation centers. And so there's a very limited time to make these decisions. And we wish everyone would think about this in advance, just like we wish everyone would think about long-term care insurance in advance, because care is expensive. And a lot of times seniors are limited by the choices that they may have because they've not planned well, or their resources are just exhausted so quickly.
Well, let's develop that. The cost of the care, it is expensive. You and I both know that. What's your belief that it's going to be 5 years from now?
Oh, my goodness. It's going up so quickly. Mm-hmm. Probably at least 5% per year, if not more.
Yeah. I think that's being very conservative. But
now, when you say expensive, what does expensive mean to you?
There's a wide range. Some of the small assisted living homes start as low as $1,800, but those are certainly the five-bed homes, not really an assisted living home, but a personal care home. And the cost of care can go up to, in an assisted living home, $6,000 or more per month.
Now, is this a situation where the elderly person comes in and all of their Social Security is transferred to the assisted living, and they got to pay on top of that?
Well, it's just private pay, so whatever resource they may have is used to pay the care. The Social Security check does not go directly to the home, but whatever resources the client may have, whether it's Social Security, pension, retirement, is utilized. And if they don't have assets, then it really does
limit their
choices. Yeah.
Janet, let me, again, as we develop this theme of cost, in your mind, as someone sits down and plans, what's the best general course of planning that they can do?
One is to review their assets and how they're managed. As we know, before retirement, we're growing our assets. But once retirement reaches, we really need to protect our assets. So that would be number one, especially in today's economy. Secondly, if they're still eligible, to look at the possibility of long-term care insurance. And the third is to go on and do your research. Find those facilities that you feel like you may be interested in for placement in the future so that you can start budgeting and planning.
Yeah, I mean, planning financially, planning for the inevitable going to a facility or receiving care, however, whatever form that may be, is certainly the key to it.
So what age do you think a person should be to start thinking about purchasing long-term care?
There are a lot of different thoughts on that. I would say certainly by the mid-50s. It's more affordable, and if you wait until you already have some health care issues, it's going to be much more expensive.
But let me, and I agree with you, but I don't want listeners who are in their 60s and 70s to be frightened. It is available to people in that age group. You do have to pass a physical, but it is available. And though it might seem expensive, again, without getting into the details, I know from a personal experience that in the long run, it usually pays off.
That's certainly true, and I'm no insurance expert. However, I will say that oftentimes people are thinking that they need enough coverage to pay for their full care. But I would just caution you to think that you already have some income that's going to assist you in paying for your care. So this will just be a supplemental source to make sure that you have all of the options available. And remember, Medicare does not pay for long-term care. It does not pay for home health. It does not pay for, for home care. It does not pay for assisted living, personal care homes, or nursing care, other than a minimal number of rehab days after a hospitalization.
I think that's widely misunderstood, as particularly when it comes to nursing homes. That it's they cover 20 days of rehab, and then the next 80 there's a fairly significant copay on a daily basis, and so the planning aspect of this is so important, because otherwise your future is left up to somebody else, particularly if you have to go into Medicaid and find an available bed. I'm curious, who are you typically talking to? Are you typically talking to sons and daughters, or a spouse, or are you talking to the prospective resident themselves?
It varies. The majority of our clients, or the people who we have the initial conversation with, are the adult children of the client. But we certainly talk with the clients as well. And once again, every situation is individual and can change. And I do want to just point out on the Medicare situation in nursing homes that if the client's only diagnosis is dementia or a mental health issue, then Medicare does not cover even for the 20 days.
Really?
Yes.
They don't consider that medically a medical condition?
Well, the 20 days is for rehabilitation.
Oh, okay. Right.
So.
Yeah, I understand that.
How long do you typically interact with a client? So, clearly you're helping place them in the first place, but you also said you're case managers. So do you find that your relationships with your clients are long-term?
I certainly have some clients who I have worked with for many, many years, and they will call me frequently for different issues that they may have. A lot of our clients, as you said, were in crisis, and we will initially meet with them when they've got 5 days or less to find resources or solutions before their parent is discharged from a hospital or nursing home rehab. And that may be a very short relationship. So it varies, but most of our clients, because we do hold hands and we do become their advocates, have a long-term relationship with us.
Janet, you've been in the senior arena for 40-plus years. What keeps you going? What do you get excited about in what you do?
I get excited every single day. Every client that I speak with and am able to help in some small way just brings me joy. And people may not believe that, but I'm passionate about what I do, because I feel like what we do has a direct impact on people's lives.
I'm going to allow you to follow up on that. Is there a story, a warm and fuzzy story about a client that you have worked with that you could relate to our listening audience?
Gosh, I have so many. I do have one particular client who comes to mind immediately, and she's a lovely lady. When I first met her, she and her husband were living in an independent high-rise, and they contacted us, and they really needed more care. And we're looking for all of the resources available. And we were able to work with them and help them through several crises. Her husband fell and broke his hip and ended up in rehab. And we were able to get not only his VA benefits started, but help her find housing in an assisted living home, and then help her get him transferred to be with her. So that was an absolutely amazing story. It was about a six-month process to get them moved, to get his VA started, and to get them into the housing where they wanted to be.
Yeah, that's good. For the listeners in our audience who might have a loved one who is in this state of their life, or someone like me whose parents are there, What piece of advice might you give them as they try to wade through all the information and where to begin?
Of course, if you're in the middle of a crisis, it's too late for this piece of advice. But once again, try to plan ahead. But if you haven't, don't panic. Atlanta is an amazing community with many, many resources. We have just an amazing senior community of providers, both healthcare and resource-wise. And, of course, we're here for you. Our registered nurse, Lori Hamilton, would love to take your call at any time. There is never a charge for our fees. If we can help you, we will find someone who can. And if I may, I would love to share that telephone information. Is that all right?
Yeah, please go ahead and give us your contact information.
Sure. The direct line is 678-300-7058. Once again, that's 678-300-7058. Or you can reach us at assist, A-S-S-I-S-T, at agingoptionsga.com.
That's great. Janet, we appreciate it. Good information. I know before we began the broadcast, you had mentioned that you were nervous. You did a great job. We certainly appreciate you being our guest today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right.
At this point, we're going to go to Dallas, where Kevin Ritz is there with Eric Sawyer. So welcome, gentlemen, and we'll look forward to hearing from Kevin and Eric.
Thanks, guys. Joining me this morning, I have Eric Sawyer. He's a certified financial planner and owner of Peacefield Wealth Solutions. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good. I would just guess the best way to start off here is to have you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, thank you. I was born and raised a native Texan, just outside of College Station, home of Texas A&M University. I earned my bachelor's degree in economics and political science there. Though my wife, Lisa, she is a red and black Texas Tech Red Raider. She's quick to point out that even though I might bleed maroon, I'm earning our living from the master's degree I got at Texas Tech in personal financial planning. My first career was actually in politics, but the gentleman I had the honor of working for would tell his staff every now and then that we needed to go out and get a real job. And when I was in Lubbock, I decided to look into that in the private sector a little bit more, and fell in love with financial planning, and got involved in the university program there. And I really love it. I love the impact that I can have on individuals' lives. And working on their personal financial plan. After getting my degree, I worked for a couple of different firms, one in Louisiana. Since I've come back to Texas, and now I own Peacefield Wealth Solutions, my firm, and teach the estate planning course at UT Arlington for their Certified Financial Planner certification program.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, before we get too much into the nuts and bolts of financial planning and estate planning and that sort of thing, we do have to say that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, is a registered investment advisor. Peacefield Wealth Solutions and Cambridge are not affiliated. Well, that's a mouthful, but let's move on and talk a little bit about estate planning. When you're dealing with either maybe a senior or an adult child, what are some of the things you help with when it comes to planning for the future, whether it's long-term care, setting themselves to possibly move into a long-term care facility, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think the first thing that we have to do is start from the perspective of the financial plan as a whole for the individual or the couple that we're working with. Find out what all of the goals are. You mentioned a couple. You know, there may be competing goals. They may want to send a child to college or a grandchild to college or children. But, you know, there may be some health care needs. You know, there may be some succession planning with a business. We need to find out what those competing goals are, or if they're complementary, and really build out initially their individual cash flow and net worth statement. From there, we can then talk about what the life insurance needs are, what the long-term care needs are, if what they have in place is the right thing. You know, maybe there's a shortfall in coverage. If that's the case, and if, let's say, there's you know, a shortfall in that coverage, that we'll need to look at the investment portfolio. You know, is that enough to make up the difference? Do we need to start looking at Medicaid planning and bring in a specialized attorney to help with that? There are all kinds of options, opportunities, strategies that can be used. It's really dependent upon the individual situation with their net worth and what their needs are. You know, we were talking earlier about possibly somebody that had passed away and they had a spouse that really maybe wasn't really involved in the financial decisions. At that point, we need to make sure that they do get involved, that we do look at all the net worth and the cash flow and the investment accounts, and make sure that they can continue to provide for their standard of living.
Okay. We also talked a little bit earlier about the importance of things like power of attorney and that sort of thing. Do you help with the planning of that, or is that something that should be left for an attorney or somebody else?
I can work in conjunction with the attorney. Obviously, I'm not going to be the one drafting the documents, but a lot of times when people come see me, they may have a very simple will that leaves everything to one spouse or the other. That could cause an issue if they're, let's say, for example, if they're looking for privacy. Wills all have to be probated, and that's public information. If we can talk about doing a pour-over will, let's say, where they leave assets to a trust, that could increase the family's privacy, since trusts aren't probated. And again, the attorney would need to be the person to draft the documents, of course. But when we get into discussions of what goes into the trust, then, you know, I'll work with the attorney on, okay, well, here's where all the investment accounts are. Here's how they're titled. Do we need to change any of the titling? Is there a gifting program that we need to start? You know, which assets are more suited to flow to which beneficiary based on the tax implications? It's those types of decisions that I can work closely with the attorney to make that flow more efficient and to happen in a more efficient way when a tragedy does strike.
Sure. Okay. What do you find most rewarding?
It's really the smile at the end of a meeting when someone discovers that they've been talking not just to a salesman, but somebody who's going to be their partner to help them get where they want to be. I love those moments when during a financial plan presentation, you see a realization in somebody's mind through their facial expressions that they now have a plan. There's specific actionable steps that they can take, that all of a sudden things don't look as scary to them as they did before they walked in, because, all right, they know that there may be a shortfall in the long-term care planning. Well, maybe we can find a long-term care policy that would be appropriate for them, or maybe there's enough assets in the portfolio that we can construct and carve out a specific piece that we can say that this piece is going to help provide for the long-term care. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or that they weren't sure if they would have enough for themselves during retirement, and at the same time wanted to provide their grandchildren with a college education. Well, you know, I've certainly sat in meetings where we had those discussions, and then, for example, you had somebody come in with those just those concerns, and you know, if we can construct a portfolio and a withdrawal strategy from their portfolio and an investment plan that gives them the comfort to know that they do have some extra room, they're overjoyed then that they can provide the extra college education to their grandkids that they might not have had.
Can you tell us a story where you've been able to impact somebody's life through your work? And I know that you can't talk specifics or even, you know, even without giving names, you can't really get into that. But do you have like a hypothetical situation that might just generally cover something that really you thought that you impacted their life?
Sure. Let's say we've got a couple. They may be in retirement. And they thought that they'd played by the rules and saved money every chance they had, and it's in an account, and they'd weathered 2008, and the worst is behind us, and now we've got enough, and we're going to live a good life. And then the last couple weeks happen. Now, here we go again. Hopefully, before we get to that point, although we can still, you know, work with a couple like that after the fact, and it really makes the work at that point that much more important. But let's say it's somewhere between 2008 and today. You know, we've got a couple that saved money. That they're taking Social Security. And it's enough. Well, they want to make sure, obviously, that they continue to be able to draw that money out as their paycheck, let's say. Depending on the circumstances, what we might do is, well, let's carve out the portfolio into a couple of different pieces. As an example, we might say, well, for the next 5 years, we want to make sure that we have X amount of dollars each month on top of our Social Security, and maybe if they have a pension, and that's going to be our cash flow. That's what this couple needs to do everything that they want. The reason why we might put it in something, you know, cash or cash equivalents, we don't want to be drawing money off a portfolio when it falls 600 points. We want to make sure that cash is there and available. So that's where the income comes from, and maybe that goes for 5 years. And maybe the second piece of the portfolio that we carve out in a separate pot, let's say, at the same time we start the cash account, we've got another account that is invested in something that over time builds up a minimum guaranteed income stream. And the longer we let that sit there, the bigger the guarantee gets. You know, and maybe after 5 years, that guaranteed minimum would be able to meet their standard of living. And then the third pot possibly could be the inflation account. You know, that might be the pot that is invested in the market. You know, that's the pot that you know, hopefully it does. We can invest it in ways that don't get the full brunt of a downturn, but even if it does, we've set aside these other two pots that they can live off of, and our, you know, everything goes smoothly, hopefully in the other scenario. And in the long term, this third pot is invested in the market, and in the long term, could possibly earn more than what they would get from the other accounts. Doing it that way could enable someone to live the life that they want, to do the things that they want to do without worry that well, next month I'll have to take money out of my portfolio, and I really don't want to do that because the portfolio lost so much money. It's based on what the goals and needs are, and that may not work for everybody. You know, I must say that asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot assure profit or protect against loss in a generally declining market. But playing in advance could provide you with an edge that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Sure, and I imagine that that's extremely rewarding for somebody like yourself that, you know, sets out to help people plan for the future. Eric, do you have any organizations or anything like that that you're involved with in the community?
Absolutely. I am a former board member of the Dallas-Fort Worth Financial Planning Association, still involved. It's a great organization for other professionals, and we've got other outside professionals that we work with that are also members of the Financial Planning Association to help us with clients and work on new strategies that may fit our clients.
Yeah, it's great to have that wealth of other people out there to kind of draw from and brainstorm with. If you were to give a family one piece of advice regarding any aspect of care or aging for a family member, what would you tell them?
Find a trusted financial planner, preferably one who has the CFP designation, who you're comfortable with, can build a relationship with, and you can trust enough to share the good, the bad, and the ugly about yourself and your family. Working with a financial planner now will help you do some what-if planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if mom and dad begins to have difficulty cooking for themselves, driving to the post office and the grocery store, starts beginning to pay the electric bill? Who will have the responsibility of taking care of the checkbook or the investment account? You know, as we talked about before, the wills, powers of attorney, medical power of attorney in place so that the doctors can make decisions with the people that mom and dad choose. You know, if the documents exist, where are they? You know, is there money to pay for the health care? Where are the accounts, and are they invested in such a way to provide for mom and dad? Is there appropriate insurance? Those are the questions and more are much easier to deal with today than they are, let's say, when you know, there's an accident and all of a sudden somebody needs round-the-clock care. Working with a financial planner today, you know, some of these conversations, granted, may be difficult to have, but they're a lot easier to have now in comparison than trying to have them when everybody just wants to be, you know, at the hospital or, you know, doing fun things with mom and dad.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also, again, we do have to read the disclaimer one last time before we let you go. Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, and a member of FINRA and SIPC. Investment Advisor Representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc. is a registered investment advisor. Peacefield Wealth Solutions and Cambridge are not affiliated. Eric, if our listeners wanted to get in touch with you personally, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Phone call or email. My phone number is 214-794-0193. Again, 214-794-0193. Or they can reach me by email at E. Sawyer, just like Tom Sawyer, ESAWYER, at peacefieldwealth.com. peacefilledwealth.com, and that's also happens to be my website, www.peacefilledwealth.com.
Excellent. Eric, we really appreciate the time. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, we thank you, Eric, in Dallas. Kevin, thanks again for hosting down there. That's it for today. We want to remind our listening audience that if they want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. We want to thank Janice for joining us here in Atlanta. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.